you for listening to this message from Rocky Mountain Christian Ministries in Gunnison, Colorado. We hope you will visit us at rmcmchurch.org, like our Facebook page, or subscribe to our messages on YouTube.
We've been talking for the last 2 weeks about knowing God's voice. All right, and there are a number of things we really have stressed, really for 2 weeks. We've covered a number of things, but bottom line, what we're talking about, we've been spending most of our time over in John chapter 10, verses 3 through 5, where Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice." And he talked to us about how he calls us by name. He talked to us about how he calls us by name. He goes on ahead of us. He leads us out. And in all of that, we have this picture of the fact that as his sheep, we can hear his voice. And I've said over and over to you that one of the biggest questions, I think, or most frequent questions I've had, especially from newer believers, but not always from newer believers, from people throughout the years, is how do I hear the voice of God? Help me learn to hear the voice of God. And one of the biggest keys I've found is that the first thing is we have to believe that we can hear his voice. We have to understand that he wants us to hear his voice, that he's not holding out on us, that we were designed to know God on that level. And you know, we've talked about the fact that from the very beginning in Scripture, we see God speaking. God has always been speaking. That's not a weird thing. It's not an alien thing. Here, I should start this back up. It is a very normal thing. In fact, you know, I don't know. I just think it's actually abnormal to think we're supposed to have a relationship with God, but we're thinking that that's just going to be something we learn. It's like head knowledge. It's like studying a book to pass a test, you know. It's called a relationship with Jesus because it's to be a relationship with Jesus. There is no relationship on earth that will survive. Yeah, this thing is not connecting. You guys probably aren't going to. Oh, no. Okay, I'm going to stop this because I want to be able to read the notes and I don't want to be distracted by it. I don't know what's going on. I'm pretty sure it's your fault. Okay. So you'll just have to listen and take notes as you want to this morning. So we have established, and I just want to list a few things here, and then we're going to move on this morning. We have established in the last 2 weeks, and you can pick up those podcasts or go watch online, we have established that God is speaking. God has always spoken. We looked at, and we're going to look at some of that again today, but we looked at over in Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, where Jesus said that we feed on, that the words of God, we don't live by natural bread alone. We live by every word that God is speaking, or every word that comes from the mouth of God. And in the original language there, the idea in that is that there's this continuous flow. There's just a continuous flow of words from the Lord. And so we've established God is speaking. All right, he's always been speaking. We're designed to know his voice. All right, just covered all of that. Jesus said in John 10, 3 through 5, he said that his sheep hear and recognize his voice and follow his voice. It's part of sheephood, okay? It's part of being a follower of Jesus. And again, I just can't get off of this. I want you to be confident. It's where you have to start in learning to discern his voice is to know I can hear his voice. Why? Because Jesus said so. Okay, even if I never feel like I have heard his voice, even if I'm not sure how all that works, I got to start in a place of faith knowing Jesus said this about me. I'm his sheep. I can hear his voice. That makes sense to you? Okay, so it says there that he calls us by name. This is in John chapter 10. It's a very personal word. He calls us by name. He knows who we are. He sees us right where we are. He sees exactly who we are. He knows our hearts, and he calls us to himself by name. And then it says that he begins to lead us. It says he leads us out and begins to go on ahead of us, which tells us that if we're going to grow, if we're going to get where God is taking us, if we're going to fulfill what God has for us, he is going to be leading us along. And in that, he's going to do that by speaking to us. And yes, he's going to speak to us through his word, but what we've got to understand, we looked at a lot last week about this, the scripture, the Bible, is alive because that God is still speaking through it. Otherwise, it just becomes a book. If we're not connecting with the person through the book, then it's just a book. It's a good book. I mean, it's got a lot of good instructions, and you can kind of live it that way, but you're going to miss the heart of what the Lord has for us. He wants a relationship. He wants it to be personal. He sent his Holy Spirit to live on the inside of you. And it tells us there that Jesus goes on before us. The Lord goes on before us. He leads us out, and he leads us on by his voice. We talked about how shepherds at that time, and still in some places in the world, shepherds didn't drive the sheep. They led the sheep. It's the way they do it. I know it's the way they do it in Romania. It's the only place I'm familiar with because I know people that have been there and were impressed by the fact that the shepherds lead the sheep instead of driving the sheep. So the Lord is not sending the sheepdogs to drive you, nip at your heels, and drive you along. He is speaking to your heart. He is calling you by name. He is leading every one of us forward. And he does that through his word, but through the words that he is speaking. And this is just a key to knowing and recognizing God's voice as we go along, is to remember God leads, the devil pushes. Okay, so when I start getting something and it's like, you got to do this right now or the opportunity is going to be gone. You better do it. You better do it right now. Or you know, there's just that forced, you better make a decision this second or I'm out of here, that kind of feeling to it, that's not God. God actually, I'm not going to say that because we're going to get into this again in just a second. So our part, all right, is to listen and do, okay? And even as I say that, we don't want our relationship with him to fall into just hear and obey, hear and obey, hear and obey. That's good. That's true. We do want to hear and obey. But this needs to be a loving relationship. The reason we're going to apply what he says is because it's truth and because he has our very best interest at heart, because he knows what's coming in the future and we don't. So we're going to start sitting down and expecting to hear what God is saying to us today. Okay, does that make sense to you? All right, so let's go on. We're going to go over to, you can turn your Bibles over to Hebrews chapter 3. I wish I had it on the screen for you, but I don't. This is why we bring our Bibles. The other reason is because the screen's not there in the middle of the night when you need this verse again, so we always want to have our Bibles with us. Okay, so Hebrews chapter 3, and we're going to begin in verse 7. Hebrews 3:7, this is from the New King James Version. It says, therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, in the day of trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tested me and tried me and saw my works for 40 years. Okay, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. That word today, I talked to you, if you were here last week, we talked about this a little bit. That is a Greek word that does mean today. It means right now, but it doesn't just mean today. It means today and extending into the future. Today and going forward. Today and tomorrow and the next day and the next day. So there's a couple things we can get from that. Number one, we are to be hearing something from the Lord each day. Now that doesn't mean that there's something wrong with you if when you sit down to spend that time with the Lord, sometimes, you know, you get something good, but it's not always some big dramatic thing that goes on. But the point is, God is speaking again. But also, and I think even more importantly, and I told you last week, Jesus used this same word over in Matthew chapter 6, verse 11, where he said to us, give us today our daily bread. All right, that word, and some translations render it this way, it means give us today the bread for tomorrow. Give us today the bread for tomorrow. So the point of that is, again, Jesus said, I call my sheep and I lead them. I go out ahead of them. So as the Lord speaks to us, most of the time, there will be an appropriate application of that word today, but it's also a word for something you haven't seen yet. It is also a word that prepares us. God is constantly preparing us so that we can face what's coming in the future, so that we can overcome what's coming in the future, so we can pray into what's coming in the future. God is not waiting until the last minute and then giving us something. That changes my attitude as I come to the Word, because we make a big, big, big mistake when, whether it's in our own personal prayer time, whether we're hearing a teaching, whatever it is, we're in this culture where if something doesn't speak directly to my felt need today, I'm blowing it off. I'm going on. I'm looking for something else. Much of the time, the word God gives you today is for something you're going to face up the road. And so the wise thing for us to do is receive it. Receive what he is saying. Whatever is coming alive from the scripture, whatever is standing out to you as you hear a teaching, whatever is coming to you as you spend that personal time with the Lord, receive it. Take it. Make a big deal of it. Write it down. Remember it. Meditate on it. Because if it's not something that you need for this moment and this day, which it often is, it is something that's going to come up the road. And the other thing this does for me is when we face something, when we run into a challenge, when we face something, instead of saying, God, you need to speak a word to me about this, I try to stop, step back, and think first, God, what have you been speaking to me? What was the last thing you spoke to me? What have you been saying to me over the last 6 months, 8 months, 12 months? What have you been speaking? What have you been emphasizing to the church? What have you been saying? Because I believe God has already spoken a word to me for what I'm facing today. The great thing is that as we do that, the Lord will refresh that word. And I often say, Lord, I need you to speak this to me again. I remember it, but I need you to breathe it into me again. And he does. He does, and it will re-energize that life and that faith and that peace on the inside of you, okay? When Jesus said, give us this day our daily bread, and it meant give us today that bread for tomorrow, that points, all of this we're talking about right now, it points to God's nature as provider, the one who sees ahead and provides ahead. And I'm telling you, there's a lot of theology out there about God's a God of the last minute. We make up a lot of theology to excuse things or explain, maybe is a better word, explain things that we experience, and we look at our experience, felt like God didn't talk to me till the last minute. Well, that's not who the Bible says he is. So for me, I take that as, I either let go of what you spoke to me before, I wasn't listening to what you were speaking. I take the responsibility for that because I see in Jesus and I see in the Old Testament names of God, he is the God who sees ahead and provides ahead. So I'm going to go through life trusting what God is speaking to me today. It'll be good for me today, but you know what? It's going to have an application for tomorrow. So I'm going to carry it with me. I'm going to do the best I can, okay, to carry it with me, all right? This whole issue of letting God lead by his voice, to me, and this is just another practical, I'm just trying to give you practicals, I think it's really, I have had to learn, it's really essential to let the Lord lead in my devotional time. You'd think that'd be a no-brainer, but it hasn't been for me. We do at times, for sure, we come to the Lord at times with a need and we ask about that need, and that's absolutely appropriate. That's one type of prayer and interaction with God. But I believe that the majority of our interaction with the Lord should be a devotional time with the Lord. I'm talking about a devotional book. I mean, it's a time of interaction and conversation and hearing what God is saying to us. I think when we're doing that on a regular basis, we don't as often need the miracle. We don't as often have the question. We've already received what it is that we need in wisdom or whatever for the situation we're facing. Is this making sense? So when I come to my devotional time, I just say it this way. God has busted me a number of times because every time I came into my prayer time, I was bringing the same issue to him, which was a big concern in my life, obviously. But I've had him just flat say to me in my heart, leave that outside. Don't drag that in here. It was way back before we were even in the ministry. We were living in Durango at that time. And anyway, there were some things going on. And every morning I was bringing this situation that was really concerning to me. It was about the church and it was about things that were going on. You know, so it was something God should care about, right? But I was bringing it and just, God, what are we going to do? I was coming with a lot of anxiety. I was coming with a lot of stuff. And I had my eyes closed. I was in our living room. I was praying one morning. And what I saw in my heart was a little kid dragging a skunk by the tail, dead skunk, into the throne room. And the Lord looked at that and he said, leave that outside. I don't want you bringing that in here. And it wasn't because he didn't care. It was because I couldn't hear as long as I was that wrapped up. Plus, my faith, I don't know if this will make sense. My faith was in my prayer, not in what God would do. Does that make sense to you? It was in my getting God's attention, okay? I was messed up, okay? And that's how the Lord showed it to me. He may not work that way with you, but it looked like dragging a dead skunk in there. And once he had me, then once I left that outside, and he said after that, the next thing he said to me was, whatever happened to us just having time together? You know, and I was like, oh. So I started just having time together and not bringing that problem in. And that problem eventually got solved, but I had peace in between. And I started interacting with God again in the way that I had. So I really think the key to building a strong, healthy, spiritual life day by day is in letting him direct. What is it that he is emphasizing? That's what I'm going to emphasize. Okay. What is it that he was saying? You know, this is a big problem. Yep, he knows that. Okay. And he may address that, but he may not. And if he doesn't, whatever he does highlight, whatever he does address, whatever he wants to talk about, whatever he impresses on my heart, that's the most important thing. Why? Because he's God and I'm not, right? He's Lord. I'm letting him be Lord in my devotional time, okay? Does that make sense to you? You get kind of what I'm saying? So we in this verse, and I just want to make that one statement to you again this week. We just have to remember in all of this that God's word comes into our heart as seed, right? I said this to you last week. God's word comes into our heart as seed. All seed has a gestation period. All different types of heart, different places that our heart might be can prolong or reduce that gestation period, just like soil, temperature, sunlight, all of those things in the earth can make that longer or shorter. I believe the Lord will speak a word to you knowing what's going on in your heart, knowing the challenges you're going to face, knowing all of that. He will plant that seed in your heart with lead time to where that harvest from that word comes right when you need it in your life. So again, I'm just there to receive the seed. I'm just there to receive and cover and nurture whatever it is that he wants to say. Okay, so it says in this verse in Hebrews, the Holy Spirit says, today, if you will hear his voice. It doesn't say if you can hear his voice. Okay, and this is exactly what it says in the original language. If you will hear his voice. Okay? So there's no question in this verse about God's willingness to speak to us or his faithfulness to speak to us. There's no question there about that. The question is about what's our willingness to hear his voice? What does that look like? Okay? And this isn't to be condemning or whatever. It's just we need to realize that our willingness, our desire, and those are actually two different things. Desire and willingness are two different things. Okay? But our willingness to hear, and remember that word hear in both Old Testament and New Testament means to hear with the intent to apply it, to hear with the intent. It's a heart attitude. It isn't just a physical action of hearing. It is a heart attitude that as I hear, I'm paying attention because I'm going to take what you're saying, Lord, and I'm going to need some instruction here on how to do this, probably, but I'm hearing it to apply it. I'm hearing this word to apply to my relationships. I'm hearing this word to apply to my family, to my marriage, to my business, to my work life, to whatever it might be. I'm hearing this word, and my intent is to apply it. I said last week a lot of times, or I don't know when I said this, last week or the week before, I guess. Anyway, you know, these days we need to know how to do something that we don't know how to do. I need to know how to build something or fix a machine or whatever. I go to YouTube and I watch the instructions. And some of them are really dumb, but a lot of them are really good. But I've got to watch that with the intent to do it. Just watching it and then going away, it doesn't do me any good. Didn't change the situation. I've got to watch it to apply. That's the attitude that I want to come to my time with God with. But desire and willingness are not the same thing. We can have a desire to hear what God would say to us, but not be willing to make adjustments in our life in order to hear what God would say to us. We might have to adjust our time. We might have to, almost certainly have to adjust our thinking. We'll talk about that a little more here in a minute. We may have to adjust some relationships. We may have to adjust our place. We'll almost certainly need to battle some distractions. All of us. I think this has always been true, honestly, but in our life and in our time and in our culture, we probably do have more distractions than any group that's ever lived. We probably do. I think they've always been there, just different, but you know, technology really has brought in a whole new opportunity. We are supposed to be in charge of technology. Technology is not supposed to be in charge of us, okay? So we can't say it's technology's fault. It's the way we choose to use technology that can be a huge blessing or it can just be an interruption in our lives, okay? We all know this. So we may be willing, you know, or desiring to hear from him, but we're not quite willing to make the adjustments that are necessary so we have time to hear from him, or we have a place, we have some quiet time, which we'll get to in just a second. We may be desiring to hear from God, but actually when we hear, we're not willing to apply. We're not willing sometimes to change. You know, sometimes the word comes and it demands a change, whether in our heart or our thought life or our actions, demands a change. And the truth is that when we, you know, it says here, if you hear him speak, if you're willing to hear him speak, if you will hear him speak, don't harden your heart. Well, we harden our heart when we either reject what God said or just ignore what God said. If you look at Proverbs chapter 1, toward the end of the chapter, it's really some really hard verses where the wisdom of God speaking says, you know, I've reached out to you. I've come to you over and over and over. You didn't want to change. You didn't want to repent. And so basically, I'm hands off. Now, I know we don't think of the Lord like that, and thank God we live on this side of the cross. We live in this age of grace. But the truth is still, if we just keep rejecting the word, that hardens our heart. That makes it, when we apply or obey the word, it gets easier to hear. And when we reject or ignore the word, it gets harder to hear. And it's not because God changes, it's because our heart changes. You know, it's harder for seed to go into hardened ground. Does that make sense to you? I know this isn't, you know, this isn't a warm, fluffy talk, but if we're wanting to know how to hear the voice of God, most of the time we got to make some changes, you know? And it's so good to be hearing what the Lord has to say. So just the nature of life and the life that we live means we're almost certainly going to be battling some distractions, figuring some things out. Distractions, we've got to find a way to set things aside, to get quiet before the Lord. And that doesn't mean that we have to be in a perfectly silent, perfect environment. You can get still before God when you're doing something, but you can't get still before God when you're doing everything, okay? You could be, I don't know what you like to do. You could be gardening. You could be, I hear from God in the shower. You could be, it's wonderful to have the time where it's just quiet and you're sitting before God and you're watching a beautiful sunrise. You know, I mean, that's a wonderful time to hear from God, but we don't get that every day, okay? But we can get still at times every day. It's a discipline. It really is a discipline. And we've got to kind of each in our own lives identify what presses in on that, what comes in on that, and how can I deal with that if it's distractions that come in. I'll give you an example. Just totally off the wall, nobody would do this, okay? Let's say you're sitting out on your back deck, a beautiful morning, you got your coffee, sun's coming up, clouds are all beautiful. Right away you start thinking, man, Psalm 19, you know, the skies speak of the glory of God, you know, and you start looking at that, going into that, and you're listening to the birds. It's a beautiful thing. And then you think, you know, I've got that Cornell University app that listens to the birds and would tell me what these birds are. And so you think, well, that's on my phone, which is in the house, but it's not on my iPad. Well, it would only take me a second, God, to get that on my iPad. And then I could set it and I could read the Bible, but it would pick up those sounds and pretty soon I'd know what birds I've been listening to. And so you go over there and you get the app. That doesn't take very long. And then the app wants you to sign in. Well, I already signed in. How come it's not in my iCloud passwords? Why is this not there? And so you do the whole sign in again. And then you have to save the password and do all this stuff, and you finally get signed in, and then it wants to do this, and it wants to do that, and it's telling you all this stuff, and pretty soon 15 or 20 minutes have passed, and you've got to leave for church in just a little while. This, I would never do this. And there you are, and it shows up with, you know, sparrow and magpie. It's like, well, I knew that, okay? And you've lost your time. That's a distraction, okay? And it's not technology's fault. It's a wonderful app, by the way, if you care. But I mean, this stuff sneaks up on you when you're in your time. And so sometimes when things start to come in, you just, you know, if it's something you got to do that day, just write it down. Get it, you know, get it out of your brain. But you've got to learn what distracts. And then you have to learn to deal with that. Okay, let's go. We just need to look at this other verse, Psalm 46, verse 10. Okay, Psalm 46, verse 10. Are you getting anything out of this morning? I feel like I'm just rambling. Psalm 46, verse 10. This is so simple, sort of. It says, "Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." Okay, so this word know, first of all, be still and know that I am God. It doesn't mean just have head knowledge, doesn't mean just perceive, acknowledge, yep, he's God. Doesn't mean that. It means to know with experience. It means when we get still, there's a place there where we can experience that he is God, that he is exalted above the nations, that he is lifted up above all the junk that we worry about. All right. There's a place in that stillness where our hearts can grasp this and know this. But listen to what the word still means. Be still and know that I am God. That word in the Hebrew means become slack. Okay? Let the tension go. Become slack. Relax. I love this part. This word literally means cease and desist. Cease and desist. Don't keep dragging that dead skunk in here with all that anxiety. Okay? Cease and desist. What are we ceasing and desisting? The things we're thinking about, the things that are agitating us, the things that are distracting us, the things that we are, because if we're letting something distract us from our time with God, whether we like to think this way or not, we are essentially putting that above God. Okay? At that moment, we are putting that before God. Okay? Because I'm letting that take hold of my heart and my mind and direct my thoughts and many times direct my prayers. Okay? I want the Holy Spirit to direct my prayers. You know, things happen in life and we recognize them, whether it's something that happens in our family or around us or our community or something we see worldwide. And we need to pray about that. Okay. But I don't want the majority of my prayer life directed by the news or by any of that. I will pray about those things, but I want my prayer life directed by the Holy Spirit, by what God is going to give me the truths to pray into that situation. Okay? I'm not just going to pray because the situation is there. I'm going to go to the Lord, spend some quiet time with Him, begin to hear His heart, and then begin to pray that out. Okay? Well, maybe I didn't cover the biggest thing. Maybe I didn't need to. I don't know. It didn't come up. Okay? It's not that I'm unaware. It's not that I don't care. It's that I want to be led by the Spirit of God in what I'm praying. I think that's the only way to pray with power. Okay? But this word, be still, it means cease and desist. It means let it drop. Let it go. Leave it alone. Let it drop. Let it go. Leave it alone. You do not have to not care to let it drop, to leave it alone, to cease and desist. You don't have to not care. You just have to recognize God is exalted above all that stuff. Let me read the Passion Translation. I love this. The Passion Translation, same verse. Surrender your anxiety. Surrender your anxiety. Be still and realize that I am God above all the nations, and I am exalted through the whole earth. What that says to me, surrender your anxiety, is don't let yourself be addicted to drama. There's lots of drama, okay? And I'm not saying it's unimportant. I'm saying you can get addicted to it. Where if you're not constantly dealing with drama, you don't feel important. You don't feel like you have a role if you're not dealing with drama, bringing drama before God. Surrender the anxiety. Okay? It's a part of knowing He's God. Okay? It's a part of having that peace, that stillness before God. And that's where we start to know Him. That's where we start to hear from Him. The same verse from the Message, paraphrase, I love this one, says, step out of the traffic. Step out of the traffic. Okay? All the stuff that's coming at you, all the stuff that's coming and going, step out of the traffic. Take a long, loving look at me, your high God. I love this. Above politics, above everything. Okay? So if we're coming and our life is being driven, by the stuff going on, we're carrying anxiety. If that's the situation, you're going to find it really hard to hear what God is speaking to you. And again, I'll say it one more time. I'm not saying we shouldn't care. I'm not saying we shouldn't be aware. I'm not saying we can't be involved. But you got to watch your heart. We're all different. And some of us can hear a lot of stuff that's going on in the world. Stay at peace. Stay hearing from God. Great. Some of us can't. And you got to know whether it's relational drama, whether it's all the neighbors and their drama, your extended family and their drama, whether it's all the news drama, whatever it is, there's a point where you're taking in too much of it. And you're getting anxious. You're losing your peace. You're worrying. I see so many people online now saying, I'm so worried about this. I'm so afraid of that. Man, God doesn't want you to live like that. You can be aware. You can be involved. But be involved where the Lord has you involved. And he will lead that. He will lead us forward. He will guide us. There's too many of us that our whole prayer life is being driven by what's coming in on the news. By what's coming in. By this and that. And this might happen. That might happen. That's a big selling point for news. Secular news, Christian news, I don't care. They know that we'll buy their product when we're scared. Okay? So don't be scared. We can live at peace. Is this making sense to you? Okay? Again, I know this asks something of us. There's no question. But if we want to be people who are consistently receiving and feeding on that living bread and then living out from that, okay, we're going to have to deal with some of this in our hearts. So we got to step away from that tyranny of busyness. You know, just you can become addicted to busyness. You can become addicted to the only way I feel like I have worth and I have purpose is I'm just busy, 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 busy. And for many people, honestly, that becomes a place to hide from things the Lord is trying to do in their life. We are supposed to be productive. God made us this way. But when we're just busy, 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 something all the time, every time, and then we're asleep, and then we're busy, 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 that's not the kind of life the Lord wants for you, okay? We, you know, again, step away from family drama. Disconnect from social media sometimes. We got to disconnect. We got to turn off our music sometimes. Oh, but it's good music. I know, but sometimes we need some stillness. We need some quiet. It's easy to drown out God's voice. It's a still, small voice. He will not shout over the volume that we turn up the volume on our problems and the things going on. We turn it up. He doesn't shout over that. He keeps speaking in a still, small voice. Okay? He's not going to try and match the noise in our life. So we need to turn the noise down. I don't know what that means for every single one of us. I just know that if we pray about it, the Lord will show us. And in that place of stillness, we'll know that he's God. And we'll start to enter into that place where he can speak to us, and we can speak to him. We can have that great conversation. And yeah, then we go out into the busyness again, but our heart's different. Okay? Our heart is different. Okay? When we hear the Lord speak to us, he conveys, his words carry into us his heart. We know this. His words carry what he speaks in them. So his words bring peace in the middle of chaos. His words, and again, doesn't mean you don't care. Doesn't mean you're lazy. Doesn't mean anything like that. It just means you can go forward with peace when chaos is going on around you. You can hear that still small voice, okay? You can go forward in a different place. His word will bring confidence. We call it faith. His word releases confidence. You know what? I do not know how this is going to work out, and I do believe there needs to be change here. But you know what? I can walk out of this place confident. That's what happens when we're hearing from God, okay? So stillness is a huge part of it. We've got to learn the discipline of stillness. And I think that means something a little different for each one of us, but we get the picture, okay? Whatever it is that drives us, that brings us into agitation, if every time you do this or hear this or whatever, you get agitated, you get angry, you get mad at other people. You start to decide other people are going to hell. You know, you start to decide all that kind of stuff. That's not Jesus. That's not the Lord. Okay. And we're not going to be productive at changing things when we're coming from that place. Okay. We're just going to spread the drama. Okay. Was this happy? Are you guys, was this a happy message? It was a good message. Let's stand up and pray this morning. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Lord, I just pray it this way this morning. Every one of us, Father, we're all different, but you know every one of us intimately. You call us by name. Lord, you know what you made us for, and you know how you made us, and you know what went on in our lives that caused us to be where we are today, and we're all works in progress, Lord. And so I'm asking today, Lord, that for every one of us, where there are areas that are hindering our ability to hear you speak to us and our ability, Lord, to live the life that you have for us, where there are hindrances to that, I'm asking you, Holy Spirit, reveal those things to our hearts and show us how to change them. Lord, show us how to change them. This just comes up in my heart right now, so I'm just going to speak it out. For some of you, if you're married, I just feel like the Lord is saying, you and your spouse need to start serving each other by you making a time for them to have some stillness during the week and them doing whatever it is they need to do to make a time for you to have some stillness in your life. You can serve each other that way. Friends can serve each other that way. That you can help one another come out of that place of busyness. Maybe it's taking care of the kids. Maybe it's, I don't know what it is, but I feel like the Lord's saying, this can be an act of service one to another, back and forth, to create that place during a week for somebody else. So Father, I just thank you for that. And I just pray, Lord, whoever that's for, that you just impress that on them, Lord. And again, just show us, Holy Spirit, just lead us, guide us, show us what we need to change, how to make those changes. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Did you get anything out of this today? All right. So there's some great snacks out there. I hope everybody will stay around, love on each other a little bit, get to know each other, have something to eat, and then we can go home. So we always do this. We're going to say on the count of three that Jesus is Lord over the Gunnison Basin and the world, and then we're going to go out there and we're going to be the church, right? One, two, three. Jesus is Lord over the Gunnison Basin and the world. Amen.
You are listening to a podcast from Rocky Mountain Christian Ministries. For more information about our church, please visit us at rmcmchurch.org.